Hey, this is David Perdue from MyNamish.com and the Novice to Advanced Marketing System, and this is the Insiders Group, and we have our micro workshop for August, and it is the Killer Content Creation Secrets with Jeff Herring. And when I think about content, Jeff is my go-to guy because he has been doing this so long and has so much great content to give us. He's a guy who has become an e-zine star, and I'm going to show you some of the stuff about Jeff when I introduce here. So, and as you know, we use a mind map to record everything that we talk about on the session, create a checklist. Now, the goal this morning is that we will talk to Jeff, figure out what we need to be doing from a content creation point of view that really delivers results in our business, and then we will talk about how to build a prototype, how to test. We use our six-step system, by the way, which is dream, prototype, test, execute, feedback, and improve that. And then we have a tab for resources and a tab for our guest up here. So first thing I want to do today is open up our guest tab here and talk about Jeff a little bit. Jeff is on. You're on, right?
He is, in fact, on. I am on.
There you go.
And I'm enjoying this this mind map thing you have here. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, this is the way we do it. It is really it's a great way to do actually create a checklist as well because of this little export feature up here, which I love because you can export straight to a where is it? Export right there. You can export straight to as an HTML thing and load it on your website or in a Word document, and you've got a checklist of things to do.
And this is FreeMind?
This is FreeMind, my man.
I like it.
I'll show you some other ways I'm using it here, too. I've got two others open that we're going to talk about as well.
Okay, cool.
But first off, about you. You've been doing this, what, since 2005 or 4?
Well, online, part-time since 2004, 2005, full-time since 2007, but I was doing it offline really since 1994 to build my therapy practice, too. So I've done this offline and online.
So you're already way ahead of me. You were a family therapist in Florida. You did that for a long time, right?
Yep, 25-some years.
There you go. And one of the things you discovered while you were doing that was you could build your business faster than anybody else because you were a newspaper columnist.
Yeah, and what I discovered with that is that, and he, you know, I thought, now what is it about this that built that practice so astoundingly offline and then built this online business? And I really think the secret sauce, David, that anybody can use, so I'm glad we're doing this, is when people can see on a regular basis how you approach their problems and see how you solve their problems, it changes the whole pursuit dynamic of clients, because of marketing. Because so many people are pursuing clients all the time, trying to get clients,
right,
trying to get clients. When you demonstrate on a regular basis how you approach their problems and how you solve their problems, challenges, problems, whatever you want to call them, it changes the whole dynamic. All of a sudden, clients, customers, patients, whatever you want to call them, people are pursuing you, and it just makes life a whole lot easier.
Right, right. So, you know, the thing about this newspaper column that you told me in the past was you stopped chasing clients because they started coming to you.
Right. Exactly.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's that pursuit dynamic.
That in part as a you know, a former newspaper guy, former journalism.
I did.
Yeah.
And the truth is that that's what's happening with our own workshop, is that people find out about it, and I don't. In fact, I'm way too lax about marketing that bad boy, because the people who come are people who have heard about us and want to come, and they come through the content that other people create about the workshop. And
exactly.
And you know, the people who don't know us, I want them to experience us before they even show up, because if you come with preconceived ideas about what you're going to find, you're going to be completely disappointed or blown away, one or the other.
It is kind of a polarizing effect.
It is, yeah. And so we want you to understand before you come so you can be blown away. All right, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about was you are the guy who kind of harnessed the e-zine article world, and you became a kind of a superstar on e-zine articles. And there's the latest You can see that on your screen. I hope it's from this morning. That is Jeff Herring, Diamond Level Expert Author. Published articles, 1,604 articles. Article views, 1.65 million views.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of views, buddy. I've heard
What's crazy about it, David, is how I found out about this site. So back in, I think it was 2005, one of the things I was doing, I was partnered up with somebody in a practice building organization that we did online, helping people build their practice. And so my partner asked me to come on to one of the monthly trainings and talk about creating content and what I did with the newspaper column. And it was on that teleseminar training back in spring of 2005 that one of the listeners, one of the members, told me about E-Zine Articles. And they told me, I said, you mean there's a place where you can go put your content and people will see it and then they can, you know, come to your website?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I am all in to this. And by that time, I probably had 600 or 700 pieces of content out there. So I jumped on E-Zine Articles. There's the date right there, April 27th, 2005, a day that will live in infamy.
That's right.
And so I just started uploading and posting my stuff there, and it was amazing what happened. Once I got to about 25 articles there, it started a flow of traffic that just turned into like an avalanche, a torrent, a flood of traffic, and not just any traffic. It was it is highly qualified traffic, because and you can make the case that it's even better than video, because video is powerful. You do video, I do video. I'm a real believer in it. It doesn't take that much effort, though, to watch a video. You just turn it on and watch.
Right.
Somebody that's read a 300, 400, 500-word article and taken that 5 to 7 minutes to do it is a really very well-qualified prospect and customer, because they've taken the time, they've consumed your content in that way, and then they want more of it.
Well, I noticed that you're publishing articles, and you're not as frequent as you used to be, but with 1,604 articles, you're still getting a lot of traffic, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I've been a little bit slack because I've been exploring new ways to market the content, and you see there's been like about one or two a month for the past couple months. But what's interesting is this. Once you have... See, every time you come up with a new article and you put it on E-Zine Articles, you're stacking it on all the other ones. Now, mm-hmm. you don't have to have over 1,600 like I do to have this effect. I'm talking like 25, 50, 100, which is really easy to do when you use my templates and other tools.
Right.
And what you have is a compound effect. They all play off each other, and I could probably – well, let me put it this way. 3 years ago, Chris Knight, the CEO of E-Zine Articles, we were doing a teleseminar or webinar together, I'm not sure which, but he said, Jeff, you've got so much content on here and you get so much results from it that you could stop adding stuff now mm-hmm. and still have a flood of traffic.
And that's true, right?
It is very true, because I have slowed down testing that. Now, I don't want to stop doing it completely, because, I mean, why stop doing something that works so well, right?
Sure.
But as I've slowed down, I've not noticed a slowdown in the traffic. Because, see, well, here's my favorite story. I created an article in August of 2005 about warning signs of an emotional affair, because I was still working in the relationship niche.
Sure.
And I still play around in it now. That article still gets anywhere from 500 to 2,000 new views a month.
Wow.
Okay, and that's just one article of the 1,600 plus. Every one of those articles gets new views every month. And so while it may be, in terms of the internet, 2005, that's an ancient article in my mind, for the people that are seeing it for the first time, it's brand new to them. And as long as you create evergreen content, which is, you know, there's an art to it, but you can do it, you can learn it, you're home free. And so what this means is I've got 1,604 little ambassadors out there working for me. I call them my article agents. And they work 24/7 all over the world, and they don't ask for a raise. They don't get cranky. They don't call in sick. They just do their job. And because of that, David, you know, I really couldn't stop the traffic coming into my world if I want to. And let me assure everyone, I don't want to. And you won't either when you get your stuff out there. And the beauty of this is just – see, content directories is one large channel of traffic. Easy and Articles is just one small piece of that one channel.
Right.
And so all this traffic based on my content is coming through this one channel, one small piece of one big channel. You start adding all the other channels up on top of each other, and it's a pretty sweet way to do business.
Okay, so you're getting into a lot of stuff here, and we're going to talk about each of these little pieces a little bit at a time. And I want to start off by saying that these are your expert niches on Easy and Articles, and you can see that at the beginning, it looks like you may have been more about relationships than you were about article marketing and internet marketing. So you've shifted your focus over the years away from relationship / family therapy stuff into how to do this, which is paying off for you in a big way. This is how I found you. Home and Family Parenting.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right there. 98 articles in Home and Family Parenting.
Oh, my goodness. Tell that story, man.
In 2005, I was creating my first product online. It was called Bad Dad, 10 Keys to Regaining Trust, and it was about rebuilding family relationships with your kids. And so I was out there looking for people who were experts to give me some ideas about, you know, the old, what is it, Alex Mandoshian says, borrowing is not stealing, it's research, which is exactly what I was doing. I was out here researching and finding other people who had expert content that I could quote and build more chapters on in my book. So I found Jeff Herring right here, Home and Family Parenting on Easy and Articles. And I started reading Jeff, and I subscribed to Jeff through this. So for years I was getting, a couple of years, until the workshop actually, I was getting Jeff Herring relationship articles from Easy and Articles.
Wow.
And I didn't know that you were the content guy until I started seeing a lot of material from other people about how successful Jeff Herring was in the relationship world as an article content guy. And so then I started paying attention, and I started tracking you down because I had this workshop coming up, and I knew content was a big piece of it. And so I found somebody who knew you and made the introduction, and we talked on the phone, and you came to the first workshop.
Wow. Who was it that you connected with?
Cindy Dawson.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Cindy Dawson. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. And I remember standing on the patio of my porch talking to the Jeff Herring to come to my workshop.
Oh, goodness. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Little did I know.
Yeah, little did either one of us know.
That's right.
That was ago, right?
12 workshops ago, right.
Yeah, really.
So I just wanted to show everybody what you can get from one channel of content. And you mentioned a bunch of channels today. And actually, this is not one channel. This is one outlet in one channel of content. And so that's what we're going to get into today is content and how to build a following online. So I think that's a pretty good introduction to really get started with what we've got going here. You agree?
I agree. And, you know, as I was getting ready for this and thinking about it earlier today, you know, it occurred to me that we're both content guys. I mean, you come out of an interesting background with journalism.
Oh, heavy, heavy content, but I had to do it differently.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, just because I knew how to write and I was a photographer, writer, editor, didn't mean that I knew how to write content for marketing.
It's a very different thing, yeah.
It's a very different thing. You know, I never, when I was in the journalism world, I never, ever put a call to action in my content. Ever.
Right, and if you did, it would be frowned upon, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, even today, I was interviewed last year about hacking by the Associated Press, and there are about 4,000 websites out there that have this interview. I mean, that's a big deal when the New York office of the Associated Press calls you and does an interview specifically with you about your experience, and they publish it.
That's pretty huge. What I was laughing about was how you got on their map, which was not fun.
Not fun. But, you know, I said in my website is da 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 da. And they said, okay, thanks. And it's in 4,000 publications internationally, and they didn't include my website. So it just broke my heart. Oh, I know. It just broke my heart. I realized, I can actually use my journalism experience to start writing articles. We're going to get into that, too, because I have started this. And I've started building columns, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later and when we talk about resources and other ways to do this. So the dream today, though, Jeff, the goal today for our people is to figure out how they're going to build content, to leave this call with an idea of how they're going to create content in the channel of their choice, right?
Right.
So we want them to go away thinking that they can do this. If they don't think they can write, there are other ways to do this. We want to show anybody that they can create content today.
I'd like people to walk away with even have a piece of it created, or at least the outline of it created.
Well, we can do that as well. So we'll let you walk that through us when we get into the prototyping on this, okay?
Cool. You know, as we're starting and talking about the dream of this, there's a couple things I want to kind of get on the table as our foundation. Now, you mentioned, playing with this back in 04 and 05. I've been doing this full-time for 8 years. Part-time for about 10 before that. And there's an interesting dynamic that goes on around this whole content thing. And that is, ever since I came on board doing this 10 years ago, there have been people trying to kill content.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Content's dead. And when... A lot of people that are new won't remember this, but there used to be a time when online you had your website and you had email, and that was it.
Yep.
There was no YouTube. There was no Facebook. There weren't even blogs. There were websites and email. And, then audio came along, and everybody said, well...
That's the rage.
We'll just talk.
Yep.
Well, audio is just spoken content, and then video came along. Well, we'll just do videos. We won't need content anymore. Well, imagine this screen that we're looking at blank. Video is spoken and viewed content. And then, oh my goodness, when social media came along, we don't need content anymore. Content's really dead. Well, unless you've got like tens of thousands of people pathologically interested in what you had for lunch, you need good content, even if it's 140 characters at a time as a tweet.
Yep.
And it still goes on, because you mentioned Alex Mondozian earlier, and I was listening to him at NAMS, and it just amused the heck out of me what I heard from him, because it reminded me of a scene from Lord of the Rings. Okay, you've watched that, right?
Sure.
Okay. Well, remember when the orcs are invading, and the head orc goes, "The time of man is done.
Right.
The time of orcs is here."
Right.
Try to imitate that voice. I heard Alex say, bless his heart, I heard him say that the time of content creation is past, and the time of content curation is here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I just stifled a laugh because I was sitting up front. And content curation, folks, is just, taking somebody else's content and showing it and using it, which is a good thing to do.
Well, he also means your own content curation. He and I have had long discussions about that particularly.
Yeah, I know he does.
And he would say the same for you, too. So,
what do you mean?
That we both have so much content that we can live off the content that we have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the curation part, yep.
But what amused me about it, talking about the time of content creation being gone, is one, content curation, somebody's got to create it.
Yep.
So let me make the point this way, David. As he was saying the words in the workshop that the time of content creation had passed, what was he doing?
Creating content.
Exactly, my friend.
Yeah.
I knew you'd pick up on that one.
I'm a good straight guy,
Yeah, you are. We both... each other. Even now, folks, there's people that'll tell you that. And I want to lay that as a foundation, because as you get into this, there will come a point where you're at the tipping point where it's all about to happen for you. And I don't want somebody to come in and say, no, don't do that, because it's dead, because it's not. It's alive and well and kicking. And hear this, it always will be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Try to imagine the internet without content. A movie theater without content. Your TV, a book without content. Okay? And part of our goal in this mini workshop and in all the things we do is take you to a place from wherever you are, meet you where you are, maybe you don't even think you can write a grocery list, okay? And take you to the place where you can create content that gets people to do what you want them to do,
mm-hmm.
which is join your list, purchase and invest in your information. So we're all about talking about content that converts, because anybody can write. Yesterday, I was working with Caleb. He's learning cursive now, and he was all freaked out about cursive.
Caleb's your son.
Yeah, Caleb, my youngest son. He's 12, fifth grade. And so we were just writing words in print and then writing them in cursive, you know. And all it is, dude, is connecting the letters, mm-hmm. you know. So anybody can write those words down, whether in print, in block or in cursive. It's a science and an art to create content in a way that's going to influence people.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that science and that art is very, very learnable. So I will end my speech there and turn it over.
Well,
to
you're not done with the speech yet, because I have a question. I meant to ask this in the when we were looking at these articles, because you know last year we had a slap from Google and everybody jumped up and said, "Oh, article marketing is dead." And you and I talked about it, and you were saying, you know, I just love it when people say article marketing is dead because I make more money.
I do.
And so explain what you mean by that.
Okay. So, you know, as I mentioned, you know, people have been trying to kill off content, you know, for as long as I can remember. And at first, it would frustrate me. It was like, gah. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Every time somebody does this, I get to talk about how it's not true, and my students and I make more money,
mm-hmm.
because their content gets out there, they make more money, and I teach it. And so there have been several Google slaps, you know, panda, penguin, hummingbird, lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. and it does make changes. And first I'll tell you about the change I made that's really just a semantic change, but it makes a huge difference. And then I'll tell you what the changes mean for you. And so... you've noticed, David, over the years that I stopped talking about article marketing,
mm-hmm.
and started talking about content
mm-hmm.
marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for two reasons. One, article marketing is just one small channel of the whole big channel of content marketing. And two, article marketing, because of all the changes, because of everybody saying this is dead, that's dead, it just got a bad name.
Yep.
And so I decided to stop fighting that battle and just expand the range of it and call it content marketing. So now here's where it means something for everybody listening that's really, really profound, because we could do days on all the changes that were made and what it meant, and we could bring in the Google experts and blah, 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 and, you know, it'd be
yep, right.
At least for me, probably for you guys too. Here's the bottom line with all of those Google changes, okay? Write this down, folks. The changes cleared out the crap so that the cream could rise. All those changes simply cleared out the crap so the cream could rise. And unfortunately, there's a lot of crap out there. People, you know, doing derivative duplications of stuff and article spinners and what I like to call article vomit.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to go away. That's crap. It doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't bring transformation. Okay. So the good news is, as all that crap gets cleaned out, the cream can rise and does rise. And when you create content in the way David and I are talking about it today, whether that's in text, like an article, a blog post, a Facebook update, audio in a teleseminar, a CD, a blog, talk radio, a podcast, or in a video like we're doing now with this webinar, or on
or in a mind map, or in a PowerPoint, or in a slide share, or anything you do that can be replicated is content.
is all content. And when you do it in those various ways, like we're teaching you here today, you become part of the cream and get noticed.
Okay, so this leads to the next question for me, which is, and I've put out a few things here in the box already that I want to talk about. People get all twisted up around strategy and tactics, right? So in the prototyping section, now the reason we use the six steps piece for, let me just explain quickly here, that we use the six steps model for our teaching is we've gone through the dream. We're going to go through the prototyping. Now, prototyping means that you have not built anything. It just means you haven't executed, right? All you've done is write it on a piece of paper, or you're building a communication device so that you can talk to other people about this. And the reason you want something that you can talk to other people about is so that you can test it. You're going to test the concept before you execute. The execution is where you invest time, effort, money. So before we get to the execution, we want to make sure that we have a solid future in place for whatever product or content that we're creating, right?
Right.
So these two things to me are strategy and tactics are really important for somebody who's just getting started with their content creation. So let's talk about strategy for a little bit, creating content strategy. I've written down niche, expertise, focus, and consistency, and you've talked about some of this already. If somebody, what would you do?
So
what
is this? I really like that breakdown. I like that a lot.
Good. I'm glad because I stole most of it from you.
Oh, no wonder.
Exactly. So if you are telling somebody now who is just getting started about that they want to create content, and by the way, nobody really wants to create content. The only reason you do it is to have results, right?
Exactly.
So,
exactly. And as you get the results, it'll sure motivate you to keep creating it.
So guess what? That needs to be on this thing right here. What are the results you're looking for from your strategy, right?
Like that.
So we've got niche. You want to choose a niche. You want to focus on your expertise, or you want to use your expertise, and you want to make sure that you focus and you want to be consistent. You want results. And what else, Jeff, do you need to do when you're figuring out what your strategy needs to be, and then you dig in deeper to actually refine that strategy before you do anything? Big question.
I really think what we ought to do is let's talk about those five and break it down.
Okay.
And there may be some, you know, lines that come out from each one or some additional ones, because, you know, the whole thing about niche, you know, when the internet, you know, when Al Gore first invented the internet way back when, and it started getting popular, you know, I was a marriage and family therapist in my office. I was speaking, I was doing different stuff, you know, to promote the practice. And what I saw the internet as is, here's a way to get this message out to more people. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, okay, in my practice, I work with couples, I work with teenagers and their families, and folks that are dealing with stress, motivation, and change. I know what I'll do. I'll have a website for all those different things I see in my office. And I'll have multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I spent lots of money trying to figure it all out.
Been there, done that.
What's that?
Been there, done that.
Yeah, getting your knees and elbows scraped and everything.
Yep.
And because I was trying to do too many things at once, I didn't get multiple streams of income. What I got was multiple fatigue and multiple frustration.
And no streams of income.
And one of the things I discovered, I've charted this out, that, you know, the rise in my income was correspondent with the narrowing of my niche, okay? And so that's why I talk with people about, and this is the title of my chapter in the you know, So What Do You Do book from NAMS. I want you to go an inch wide and a mile deep, okay? Pick a niche, go an inch wide and a mile deep. The problem is most people will go a mile wide and an inch deep.
Right.
Try something for a little while, it doesn't work, and then they go to the next thing. Try it for a little while, it doesn't work. Do that a few more times, and then say the internet doesn't work.
So give us an example of that.
Of which?
Of going an inch wide and a mile deep.
Okay. We'll go back to my therapy practice, okay? Mm-hmm. There is a lot of things you can focus on as a therapist, and a lot of different treatment modalities, a lot of different client population. One of the things that built my practice was before I started private practice, I'd worked for years in an adolescent drug treatment center and was very comfortable around teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people that would say the reason for that is I am still one. However, I don't think that's true.
You don't look it.
Thank you. That's for sure. Thank you, I think. And so what happened was I started that private practice, and I started working with teenagers. And what I found out is that not only were most therapists not working with teenagers, most of them were scared of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the drug treatment center, I was very used to and comfortable with being the only adult on campus in a group of 35 kids, most of whom were bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my worry was all it's going to take is two or three of them to figure this out.
Right.
Fortunately, they never did. And so when I would be in my private practice and go into a room to do group therapy with eight teenagers, and people would look at me like, you're going in there?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, I used to do this with 35. Eight is a cakewalk. But what that did is it became a very, very narrow niche in the whole world of counseling that I got the reputation for working with teenagers in groups. Okay? And so that was going from therapy to family to teenagers to groups. Okay?
Yeah. So you've narrowed way down. Family therapy is a huge topic. Teenagers, yes, is one slice, small slice of family therapy. And working with drug treatment and groups in that small slice is an even smaller slice.
Exactly. Exactly. And what that did, David, and we're going to take a sample from results here, that just, in today's language, blew up my practice. I mean, it filled things up. Because here's the beautiful thing. Kids come with parents, right? And so I ended up working with the parents. I ended up working with the marriages. I ended up working with the individuals. And so much came from that narrow focus.
Mm-hmm.
And in a town glutted with mental health, more therapists than cab drivers, you know, I was the go-to guy in this one particular niche, and I didn't need to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In fact, I was turning people away because I got the reputation for working with kids really well, and so parents would bring me their younger kids, 12 and under.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say to them, listen, I can sit on the floor and play with your kid and have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'll enjoy it, and they probably will too. But I'm not doing therapy with them.
Right.
The guy that you want to go see is Art Cleveland. Mm-hmm. He's one of my best friends who focused on 12 and under.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so part of deciding what you're going to focus on is also deciding what you're not going to do.
Okay, so there's something, this connects then to the next step, because we have expertise in here as well. Now, you're creating the expert status by going deeper and deeper and carving out that niche, but
right,
you kind of realized that you had assets already in that area, right? You realized that
right,
you were good with teens, that
right,
you could talk to them, you weren't afraid of them, you had the ability to help them with their drug treatment or whatever it was. So what I'm suggesting is that people can look at everybody needs to take an inventory of their own assets, is what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so part of it is, you know, what do you know you're good at? The other thing is to pay attention to is what do other people say you're good at? For instance, going back to this, you know, adolescent niche, people would say to me all the time, Jeff, you are really good working with teens. And David, I'd think to myself, well, yeah, but I breathe well, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't realize that was something that was good. Okay? So take that online, or that principle online, and I'm starting to try to figure out a way to do this thing online, because I saw a glimpse of the future. I saw that if this goes like I think it's going to go, people are going to be able to work from home, work from anywhere, and reach out all over the world. And
right,
here we are.
Right.
And so as I got involved online, I thought, okay, what am I good at? And people told me for a long time, Jeff, you're a really good therapist. You're better at creating this column. Why don't you teach that? And I thought, well, why train my own competition? There's only so much newspaper space, right?
Right.
So finally I took it online, and what I realized was I'd been writing a 650-word weekly newspaper column for 10 years, 11 years, before I went online full-time. Okay? And so that was a natural thing for me. So imagine an X on the screen, and one line is something that you're really good at. For this example, it was creating content. Okay? The other line is something people really need.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is people really needed a way to take their expertise out of their heads and get it on screen in the form of content, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and folks, what I want you to picture with that X is the things you're really good at, your unique gifts and abilities, and the other line, crossing that line to form the X, is what people in your niche really need help with, what their big challenges are, what they need to figure out. Where those two things cross is your niche sweet spot. It's your product sweet spot. It's your content sweet spot. Because out of there comes everything you're going to do. Because I believe, and this is based on 10 years of working with people, that every single person listening, watching this webinar, has expertise that's desperately needed out there. And it's just a matter of narrowing it and defining it and getting it in front of the right people. Oh, I like that. Wear what you're good at meets what your audience needs. Well said, Mr. Journalist.
Creating a little content here as we speak.
I was just thinking that.
I believe I'm seeing an article in your future.
I'm writing that line down right now.
Okay, so one of the things about the inventory, we talked about the tangible and the intangible up here. We've mentioned it just a little bit here. You might be good at writing, but not video, right?
Right.
So you want to take advantage of the writing piece of that. In the intangible world, though, people, and Jeff, this is I'm telling on myself here. It kind of goes with the what do other people say you're good at, right? That's a hard one for me because I don't see it. What other people say that I'm good at, right?
God, that is so true of you.
Well, it's true of a lot of people, not just me. A lot of people that I deal with and coach, too, don't see it, and I'm amazed how they don't see it.
I know.
Then I know I have the same affliction. So,
don't we all?
And it is an affliction. I mean, it really is. So in the intangible world, we have to be able to see not only our relationship status may be one thing. What are some other things in the intangibles that we look for that will help us figure out what our assets are? Education, I guess.
Education, results. Education, relationship, and then results. Okay. What people can say you're good at doing something, and mm-hmm. that's nice to hear.
Mm-hmm.
What are the results they're seeing? For instance, and I keep going back to this private practice thing because it's just so instructive. I would usually get kids brought to my office that had been to other therapists before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they did the straight sit down in a chair, stare at each other, talking stuff, you know? And that's the easiest way to shut down a teenager.
Yep. Right?
And so people would ask me, you know, how do you do this with teenagers, Jeff? And I'd say, I just hang out with them, you know? But within that, was being able to connect with them in a way that made them feel safe and there was a place they could talk. And the results were they got better. Okay, the anxiety went away or reduced. The behavior changed. They started to have some sense of who they were, what they could do. And so you look for the results. And let's just let me think of a client I work with. One of my high-level mentees deals with food addictions and sugar addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so part of her skill set is she's really, really good at being able to tell a person what they really had for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Which is not a pleasant conversation, really.
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, really. But what that does is gets them to make changes that results in sometimes it's weight loss. Sometimes it's weight rearrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? where that stuff around the belly becomes stuff in the shoulders and arms where you get in shape.
Right.
More energy. They sleep better. They have better sex. Okay, that's a good result.
Yep.
And so whatever those results are that, that people are pointing out, that's something that, that's intangible that becomes tangible when you name it and see it. And boy, if it's measurable, that's even better.
So that leads me to the next, which is focus. What are you going to focus on when you're creating your content strategy? And man, it's got to be the results.
Yep.
Because that's you're going to instantly create your own expert status by doing that, which is what you did, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Because see, here's the thing, David. I mean, and this is what I tell a lot of people because I think it's so, so important. Because I hear this excuse all the time. Well, yeah, Jeff, you have a big list and you know a lot of people and you have a name in the industry. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Pause. And it wasn't always that way.
Absolutely.
Okay? Because I remember the first internet marketing seminar I went to. It was December of 06. And nobody had any idea who I was. Okay? And I was just totally lost. And one of the things that amuses me is one of the speakers at that in December of 2006, one of the ways he demonstrated what he did with Google AdSense mm-hmm. was he stood on stage with a big jar and dropped pennies into it
mm-hmm.
over and over and over again. And the message was, you know, you do this every second, it builds,
mm-hmm.
okay? And now that person is a good friend of both of ours, Joe
yep.
Kahn.
Yep.
And so the second internet marketing conference I went to in spring of 07, still nobody knew my name, but they'd heard of the article guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was doing teleseminars by then under the name The Article Guy. And so it, it just grows from there. And my, my point is, folks, begin where you are. Okay, if your list has 10 people on it, good. That's 10 more than zero.
Yep.
Okay, and then you double it and you double it and you double it. I want to blow away that excuse for you because the way David got known, the way I got known, was putting stuff out there and
even when you didn't want to.
Even when you didn't want to, because one of the things I tell my students is, look, if you hear yourself saying, I don't feel like doing this, the next thing to ask yourself is, what does that have to do with it?
Yeah, it's not my business.
And a recent development is really significant here, David, because, you know, you and I talk about, you know, getting your content out there and just doing it because we've done it. But it takes a certain amount of courage to do that. I don't know if you know this or not, but Felicia's husband, Brent, mm-hmm. Was having his first launch this week.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up in the ER.
He ended up in the ER?
With heart attack symptoms.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, he thought he was having a heart attack.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
He was freaking out over his first launch.
Mm-hmm.
It was total stress. Now, a sidelight is, to a list he'd never really mailed to before, he converted 10%.
Holy moly.
And was thinking he didn't do well. It's like, dude, please. I mean, people dance over 1%. But all that, and Felice has given me permission to talk about it, so it's okay.
Let me share a story from last night on the panel that I was on with people
yeah.
that, by the way, I never dreamed I'd be on panel with these people, right? So it
you
happens
both,
over
you
time.
You and me both.
So you never dreamed I'd be on that panel either, right? So anyway, the question that we got was, how do you get over your fears? And,
yeah.
and when you're starting out, and I thought that was so interesting because I don't get over fears. You just have to do it anyway. And then you
exactly.
get, and then things change. And only when things change do I experience fear. And, you know, if I'm not changing, I'm not progressing. If I'm not changing, I don't have any fear. And if I'm not in fear, it means I'm not changing. So I've always got a little fear going on. Now I try to downplay it and I try to just go through it, but you know, we can't let it stop us. So I digress.
And I use humor to deal with that. My point in talking about Brent and Felicia is that, you know, he ended up in the ER just out of anxiety about all this
right.
and freaking out. My point is, it does take courage to do what we do.
Absolutely.
And it really got me thinking about it, because we take it for granted because we're involved in this world. But you've got to be willing to not have a paycheck. You've got to be willing to put your stuff out there and get criticized. And you know, it feels like you're naked sometimes. Now, the payoff is a great lifestyle and making a huge difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And you know, you make such a good point, David, about that. And we're talking about fear and focus. Those things go together.
They do.
Because I took you from my first internet marketing conference to my second in spring of 07. Well, by December of 07, I was speaking at marketing conferences. Now, I'd done a ton of speaking engagements as a therapist for a long, long, long time, so I was cool with that. And by December of 07, I'd done probably 100 teleseminars about content marketing. But I'd never talked about content marketing on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing in the back of that room, and I'm getting introduced, and I'm thinking, Herring, what the hell have you done?
Yeah, exactly. Knees are knocking,
why didn't
right?
You just stay home in your chair with your headset on and do a teleseminar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I was scared.
Right.
But one of the things that helps you get past the fear is focus on the results. Because there were two people at that workshop, and the other one's a name who I won't mention, but you'd recognize it, and neither one of us had spoken before.
Mm-hmm.
He made nothing that day because of a few things he did in the talk. I made five figures that day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, five figures will handle fear really well.
Yes, it does.
You know? Kind of makes you think, yeah, I'm still a little bit scared, but the heck with that.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways to focus past the fear, folks, is to focus on the results. Okay? There are still times, and David announced this last NAMS, I'm the only one that's spoken at every NAMS. And there, are, and I'm comfortable with it. I'm used to it. I love it. And still there's that little, you know, tickle beforehand, like, oh my goodness, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or oh my goodness, what if I forget something?
Mm-hmm.
And so your point, David, about the fear always being there is a really good one, because people think it's supposed to go away.
Yeah.
I don't think it does. I think you just learn how to manage it.
Yep. Okay, consistency. One of the things that I have done that has really changed my business, and this is only in the last 2 months, believe it or not, is I have blocked off my calendar from 9 to 11 every morning. And,
really?
And from 9 to 11 every morning, I focus on the things that I need to get done. And it includes creating content, writing articles, or editing. And I find out that I'm a much better editor than I am a writer. Well, that's not true. I love to write, and I'm a pretty good writer. But it takes a lot more time. I love to edit. And so what I've done is I have hired somebody who is writing 10 to 20 articles a week for me, and they're about 70% done when I get them. And so I'll get 10 articles, and I can edit those in about 35 to 45 minutes and have 10 articles that are mine, because I edit them to be my voice and to say what I
right.
wanted to say.
Yeah.
But
it's your voice.
It's so much easier to start with something and edit it than it is to start with blank for me. My point is that now I am doing that on a very consistent basis, and one of the things that, and this is content, is autoresponder series are articles. And if you don't have autoresponder series in place, which I have over 130 lists now, and which means I don't have autoresponder series in place for all of them. In fact, I have autoresponder series in place for very few of them. I'm losing money if I don't mm-hmm. do that.
Exactly.
Big time. So that's what the big focus for me has been, is to build automation this year with my autoresponder series and all of my other things, all of my funnels. So that means I have to stay on top of it and be consistent. That's the same with the article, content, video, podcasting. You know, we both met Scott Smith, I've known Scott Smith.
Oh my gosh, yeah. What a
you talk about unbelievably consistent, right? 10-minute podcast a week, and he is killing it.
And the reason he's killing it is what you just said, that incredible consistency. And, you know, David, you're talking about blocking off 9 to 11, you know, to do that content stuff. The problem is, you know what most people are doing first thing in the morning that are online?
Check an email.
Exactly. Okay? And that's deadly, folks. Quit that. Stop that today. If you don't get anything else out of this webinar, get that, because when you begin the day by checking your email, you are beginning your day based on someone else's agenda.
Yep.
Email is someone else's agenda.
So is Facebook.
Exactly. So is Facebook, even though it's fun. And so what I would call David's 9 to 11 time is what I call a DRGR. Okay? DRGR stands for Daily Revenue Generating Ritual. Okay? A Daily Revenue Generating Ritual. Okay? Now, what that means is you're doing something first that makes you money. Okay? You do that stuff first. Now, what I want you to get, well, let me ask you, David, how long have you been doing the 9 to 11?
About 2 months.
Okay, and what are some of the results from that?
Well, I've got 3 new reports that are going to be funnels that are, well, and I've got new funnels. So I've built a whole lot of new funnels and a whole lot of new reports for driving more traffic and more systems in place and completed software that we've been working on for a long time.
Okay, so more resources, more funnels, more software, all of which is going to add up to 2 things: more difference made in the world and more income, more profit for you.
That's right.
And the beauty of daily revenue generating rituals is when you do it on a consistent basis, and there's the important word, consistent basis, it's compound. It builds on top of each other. And if you think about it, consistency is the key in anything. I remember way back in grad school, my roommate and I played a whole heck of a lot of racquetball.
Yep.
There was a lot of days, there were very few days we weren't on the court. And I mean, racquetball is a great metaphor for what we're talking about, because you know, you got to pay attention, you got to focus, and it's just like Wayne Gretzky in hockey. It's not going to where the ball is; it's going to where the ball is going.
Yeah.
And if you lose focus, you're going to mess up. Okay. And so Matt and I always kidded about when we messed up. Our phrase was consistency is the key. Consistency is the key, because you know, you lose focus, you get inconsistent, bad things are going to happen. You stay consistent and keep your focus, good things are going to happen. I'm loving this mind map, man. I've never done it this way before.
Works pretty well, doesn't it?
It really does. It's like, I want a copy of this.
You will get a copy of this.
Thank you, sir. And so, you know, then the question becomes, what should my daily revenue generating rituals be? Well, what are the things that you do that make you money? Do those. Okay? I mean, come on. I could make it more complicated for you. I got high priced degrees, but why? You know, figure out what's making you the income and do those things. Or do the things that support that. Now, do I check email during the day? Sure. Okay? Because I want to serve my customers and my clients. But I don't do it first. Do I get on Facebook every day? Sure. Because I want to build that engagement and that reputation and that the whole engagement thing over there. And that leads to income. That leads to making a difference. But it's not the main things to do.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about results as a way to drive your focus. So let's talk about results as the end goal. So I know that it's kind of full circle here. If mm-hmm. if you focus on the results in your life and what results you've had to help build your content, you're only building more of that result, I hope. So if you might have different results, though, you want, what kind of results would you be wanting to get from your strategy, your content strategy? I can think of financial results, and I can think of authority results. What else would you talk about?
Well, one of them is visibility. You want to be found. Okay, you want to be found online. And folks, y'all got it made. Because as I said earlier, back when we first started, you had websites and email. And that was it. And now you got YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and this and that. And oh, my goodness.
Which can be deadly, by the way.
It can be deadly.
Go back to focus here.
that whole focus thing, right?
Yep.
And so visibility, and then you get traffic. And then you build a list. And then you deliver unto that list the things they want, okay, in order to help them. Now, and so one of the results is that you want to look for is what, not just results, not just benefits, what's the transformation that you see that you deliver in the people you work with, okay? Because people are not buying 27 PDFs. People are not buying, you know, five modules. People are not even buying the ability to create content, for instance. What they're buying is the transformation. Okay, the transformation may be, you know, weight loss and looking the way you want to and living longer. The transformation may be able to be, in my world, it's taking the expertise that you have in your head that makes a difference in the world, unleashing it, making a difference in people's lives, and profiting from that. Okay, so whatever that transformation is the result you want to go for. And the way to find that out is, you know, you could play this game with someone else or do it with yourself. Just think, okay, what's the benefit of working with me? And write that down. And then ask, and what's the benefit of that? And what's the benefit of that? And every answer you write down, because it's good copy, when you get to the bottom line and can't come up with another benefit, you've reached what's the transformation? What's the bottom line transformation? And that's part of what you're selling. That's part of the result you're looking for. So, you know, think about what are the results been with some of your most successful clients. And if you don't have any clients yet, what's the result been with people that you just worked with because it's what you do and it's what you talk about? It could be friends, family, et cetera.
So, quick story. When I was, I had my stock photography agency, so it was probably 1992 or 3. I went to see a coach, and he was kind of a life coach person. First time I'd ever done it. I spent the afternoon with him. He asked me one question all day long. Drove me nuts. But he kept repeating the same question all day. And the question was, and then what? And it was so profound because he would say, okay, so where do you see yourself? If everything is working the way you want it to work, where will you see yourself next week? And I would tell him, and he'd say, and then what? And then I would tell him the next thing, and he'd say, and then what? And it built into, it really got, I had to, after four or five times, I had to really think, why am I doing this? You know, what's the point? And it helps you get really focused on what your purpose is. And that was really profound for me.
It really is profound, and that's why you always want to have somebody else's eyes on your business.
Mm-hmm.
Because that simple question, look what it led to. The first coach I hired, you know, I'd say stuff like, well, you know, I'd like to do this or I want to go here. And Bill would just piss me off because he'd look at me and go, well, what's stopping you?
Mm-hmm.
And what made me mad was there was only one answer, right?
Yep.
Me.
You know? You've heard me say before when I was coaching with Mark Hendricks and I very beginning, this 2005, and I said after like 18 months of spending a ton of money trying to learn everything there was to learn, I said, when am I going to finally start making money? And he said, when are you going to finally decide to?
And exactly.
It was really having somebody else who just put it right back on me.
Yeah.
So the results that we're looking for here from your content really helps you build your authority with visibility. And when we're talking about visibility, the Easy and Articles is a great example for you of visibility. That's what got you on the map. Now you took that and then you built a whole social media presence. You built a video presence. You built a webinar presence, and it all, but everything that you do, and I'm going to confess right here that about, and you don't know this, I'm just going to tell you this straight up front.
Okay.
About four or five workshops ago, I thought, you know, Jeff has taught the same thing about content for about six workshops. You know, I think I can probably let him come back next time. I mean, later, you know, not at the next workshop.
Right.
And then I even talked to you about it, I think. And
I know.
And I said, and then I said, to myself, this is the 200 group, and this is what they need to know, is content, how to create content. And then we started realizing that even the 400 group needed to know some of the things that you were talking about in content. And so it was foundational. I started looking at my workshop differently because this was foundational, and you needed to focus on this for my people. You needed to teach this stuff over and over and over again. And you do that. You really have a very focused message.
And it's funny that you said that, because in the last one we just finished up, I did things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And
stop that.
Everybody liked it.
Stop it.
I know. But people came up to me afterwards and said, Jeff, that was really good, but I wish you would have done the same thing. You know, and in no way am I comparing myself to a rock star or anything, but you know,
you're known for something.
Well, I am known for something, and you know, I'm trying to think about how many times have the Eagles sung Hotel California?
Yeah.
You know, and they probably a little bit tired of it, but guess what? That's what the people come for, and that's what got them where they are.
Yep.
You know, and so it's about. You know, you don't have to change your message, you just change your audience. And there's new people coming into NAMS all the time. And so, yeah, I'm known for content creation.
So let's not go right by that really quickly there. You said you don't have to change your message, you change your audience.
Yeah.
Big. That's
huge.
Big.
Yeah, we could do a whole workshop on that.
So explain what that means.
Okay, so what happens, it's a part of the inch wide, mile deep stuff, okay? Because you get thinking, well, I've got to change what I'm saying, I've got to change my focus, I've got to change something because I'm doing the same thing. Not necessarily. If what you're teaching is foundational, now I've adapted it over the years,
mm-hmm.
okay? But if what you're teaching is foundational, just find a different audience, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, one of the ways I do that is I can, give the same message to my current list over and over again. And as people are added, that's good. But right after we finish this show, I'm going to be hosted by somebody else on their webinar, and I'm going to teach their group. Okay, that's a new audience. Okay, same message, different audience.
So this is a place where I made a huge mistake. When I came into this business, because of my journalism background, and I knew this even from my journalism background, I always thought you start with a fresh piece of paper and you start creating stuff brand new every time, right? Now, I was successful in the freelance writing world for a little while when I was doing a transition between the newspaper business and the online business. And one of the things I had to learn was, and I learned this from other freelance writers, is one article is an asset. You want that asset in as many places as possible. Freelance writers that are successful are only successful when they sell the same article to many, many different outlets.
Yep.
And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about
absolutely
change your audience.
Absolutely.
And you get more
and that
visibility.
Can be something as simple as taking, because we're talking about repurposing now.
Yeah.
Because taking that same piece of content, let's say that you created a three mistakes piece of content, okay? Three mistakes to avoid and what to do instead, all right? And you put it on your blog. That's one audience. And now you take it, one mistake, and turn it into a video. And now it's on YouTube. Whole different audience. Now,
okay,
let's say you do over 3 days a podcast, 5-10 minutes, over each one of those mistakes and what to do instead. Whole another audience.
Yep.
And those are just three little ways of making it different.
Yep. All with big different audiences, which leads to the traffic as well. And so we got to move on because we got a lot to cover here.
Oh, wow. Look at all those things we still got.
Yeah, I know.
I wonder if we're going to bring this in, boy.
Just a second here. Let me see where we are.
Do part two.
Well, I'm doing part two this afternoon. If you'd like to join, we could do that. But we are – let's look at tactics. Okay, so we've talked about these big things: niche, expertise, focus, consistency, and results. And what I've got here in the tactics is content type, repurpose content, and call to action as the key elements of things that you need to be doing with your content once you get bidding. What else? What are we missing?
Type of content, repurpose content, call to action.
Or is that it?
I think that's it. Everything I'm thinking of is going to fall under one of those headings.
So using what we've figured out in our strategy, you're going to create content of a certain type as your original, right?
Right.
So you have original piece of content. And then if you're doing it well, and that would be in, you know, as article or video or
and audio. Another way to think about content type that makes it just so much easier for myself and for my students is using templates, you know, where you're not to see the whole thing about this that really hangs people up. And we probably should have mentioned this before, but it's good that we're doing it now, is people think of creating content and they freeze up because they believe in something that doesn't exist. And what they believe in that doesn't exist is writer's block. There ain't no such thing. Put a Southern twist on it. Now, some of you are already, you know, fighting me on that. I can hear it. But let me ask you something. Have you ever had speaker's block? Probably not. Okay. Have you ever had eating block?
Never.
Yeah, probably not. Sure not a problem for me. And so it's just something we make up in our heads. And it comes from staring at a blank sheet of paper or a blank screen and fighting that blinking cursor. When you create with templates, there ain't no such thing as writer's block because you've got an outline in which to put your expertise. Now, every single person, I would be willing to bet $100 that every single person listening to this webinar, watching this webinar, has walked by a content template this week. Because if you've checked out of a grocery store or Walmart or Costco or whatever, you've walked by a heavily researched, into which lots of money was spent, content template. And that's the titles in those magazines that they try to get you to buy at the last minute. Okay? You know, my kids are always going, Dad, when we're standing in line and I'm taking pictures of magazine covers.
Right.
Because of the titles, you know, because they're great ideas, okay? And so, you know, whether you use that or my templates or someone else's, you know, don't start from scratch like you were talking about earlier, David.
Yep.
Start with an outline, a template, an idea, and make it yours. You talked about, you know, me taking easy in articles and putting it on the map and making it work for me. Well, go over there, folks, in your niche and find articles that are already written about your expertise. And again, if you steal from one person, that's plagiarism. If you research a lot and then make it your own, that's research. Find some that are in your niche and do a better job with it, using the templates and what we're talking about here. And if nothing else, it'll jog ideas in your brain. And stop on one of those titles, okay? Whoa. This one, I'm pointing at the screen like you guys can see it.
How's it going?
second one down says profitable list building, the perfect cure for when your list community is too small. Start now, okay? That's a template, kids, okay? Profitable blank, the perfect cure for blank. Start now. Okay, fill in those blanks with your niche. Okay,
that's the reason I came over here is because I noticed this earlier that every one of your headlines is a templated headline. Yep. I mean, you're doing stuff that you preach, which is keyword benefit keyword.
Yep, good memory.
Yeah, well, not only good memory, but I try to do what you say. So
well, you do, and I remember one of the times we were doing one of these, and you said, okay, I'm going to go over to Google and type in profitable content creation.
I did.
And I thought, uh-oh, amazingly, I've never done that, okay? And so, okay, let's find out what we find. We'll just do this live.
I don't know who that is, but we'll find out in a second. That's Jeff Herring. Templates on Infusionsoft. That may be, nope, that's somebody else, I think.
That's mine.
Oh, is it?
That's mine.
Okay. How about this? Amazon, the book on content creation.
That's mine.
How about free webinar content creation, Facebook?
Mine.
Three tips to profitable content creation. That looks like you on Adela Rubio. One of your deals.
Yeah.
And YouTube, Jeff Herring. YouTube, Jeff Herring. Gina Carr is one of your students, so that's got to be you.
Yeah.
So you got the whole first page.
Yeah. Yeah. So, folks, this works.
Wow. Awesome. And that's not a bad keyword to have, profitable content creation.
No, it's not.
Yeah, okay.
It's not.
So where
and
was
so
I
the
here?
Point of doing that, folks, is pick keywords, use these formulas, and, you know, I'm not promising you're going to own the first page like I do, but you're going to have it up there and you're going to get found.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to start with content type. It can be article, video, audio. The thing about audio is if you do audio or video, you transcribe it, you have article or report or whatever it is, right? So that's that. And then you can also start even before that with templates. In fact, let's put that at the top. Don't you love this mind map, just moving things around like this? And so you start with templates, and there you go. Now, I've got resources down here where Jeff has a stack of templates that you can get, and I've got a link for you in the resources, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes as well and let Jeff talk to you about what's in there. But I want to move, Jeff, to the repurposing of content.
Okay.
What are your favorite methods for repurposing, and how much do you repurpose?
You know, David, the how much part is I don't really know, because it's so much of what I do that I think a lot of it I do it unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite ways to repurpose, you know, as some of you know, I do a few webinars now and then.
Yeah.
And so that's really kind of my go-to content creation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is webinars.
Okay.
Now, from a single webinar, here's what happens, right? It's a webinar, then it's replayed. It's transcribed, so that becomes multiple articles. Every bullet point becomes multiple videos.
Talk about that for a second.
Okay. For instance, one of the things I usually talk about on a webinar is three big mistakes that people make in that area and what to do instead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just that one subheading on a webinar is going to become at least three videos.
Okay.
One for each mistake. Okay.
Okay.
And they'll either drive people back to the webinar replay or recording or rebroadcast or an opt-in page. One of the things I do, and this is a really important piece, okay? Because I went to a workshop at NAMS recently, and some people, John and Jay, focused on webinars for about 20 minutes, and I was doing 80% of what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the 20% that I wasn't, that I've been doing since I learned it,
mm-hmm.
made me more money for my webinars just in the last 2 weeks.
Mm.
Okay. So I've got somebody that listens, one of my team now listens to the webinars, takes notes, and pretty much puts together a summary of it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that becomes something that goes out to everybody. And then I take that summary and build on it, and it becomes a Kindle book. So all of that becomes articles, and on and on and on it goes. So part of why I do that is I'm creating it and I'm trying different ways of repurposing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing the results from that. So part of what you got to do, folks, is start with something, whatever it is that's easiest for you to create. Start with that and then see what else you can create from. And part of this is a science, part of this is an art. And the art part is just playing with it and seeing what works.
Okay.
So that's a great question right there. What else can you create? Because when I look at a piece of content, whether it's a blog post, an article, a webinar, a video, I no longer have the ability to see just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I see multiple things. What else could this be? Now, I don't think I've ever told you this, but here's a great example. Okay, when I present at NAMS,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking the slide from one of my webinars,
mm-hmm.
and I'm putting it up on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that means I've done that webinar a lot, and really the only tweaks I make, David, is wherever I use the word webinar, like I do webinar wisdom, mm-hmm. I turn it into workshop wisdom, and I change the link for the offer. That's all I do.
Okay.
And so that's why I'll tell on myself.
And that's no less valuable, by the way.
Oh, no, it's hugely valuable. It just makes it easier for me.
Sure.
Because I was sitting in a workshop the Saturday of the last NAMS, and it was wrapping up, and I was looking at the schedule going, okay, what am I going to go to next? And I looked at the schedule and went, oops, you're speaking next.
Well, so I'm glad you saw that.
But my point is, I knew the material so well,
mm-hmm.
I didn't panic.
Right.
I just sent a buddy up to my room. I said, go get these order forms and my brush, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I can comb my hair. And I went into the room, and I did it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The point is, you can take a piece of content, make a couple tweaks to it. You're not changing your message. You're changing your audience.
Right.
I'm changing from my webinar audience to my NAMS in-person audience. And people will ask me, David, how can you be walking away from the screen and talking about what's on the screen? Well, I've done this a few times.
Right.
I've done this webinar 100 times, right? And that's one of the values of repurposing, is you become so familiar with your content, your message, that you can deliver it anywhere.
Yeah.
I've gone to lots and lots of workshops where one of the speakers is like had an accident or just crapped out on somebody, and they come in, Jeff, can you talk about so-and-so? Yeah, okay, let's do it. You know, and 10 minutes later, I'm presenting because of repurposing.
Okay, so now we're going to move to call to action.
Okay.
Because you teach this better than anybody I know. And you asked me after the last NAMS if I thought this should become one of your new products. And I absolutely think you need to turn this into a product. Because go through the steps that you use for creating call to actions that work.
Well, it's really simple. And I got it from Frank Kern, who got it from John Carlton, who I don't know if he made it up. But basically it's this. Here's what I've got for you. Here's what it'll do for you. Here's what you want to do next.
Okay.
Now, within those three things are dozens of nuances and tips and tweaks to do, but that's basically it. Okay? Now, the biggest mistake people make with calls to actions is they don't have one. They're mm-hmm. afraid to ask for the sale. Okay? And when you do that, folks, you're doing two large disservices. The first one is you're doing a disservice to your client, your prospect, the people you're talking to, because you've got answers that are their next success steps to get them where they want to go. And if you don't share them, that's a disservice to them. Okay? You're also doing a disservice to yourself, because I firmly believe that when you have a message inside of you that can make a difference, which is true of everybody on this webinar, not only do you have the right to get it out there, you've got the obligation to, but you've also got the right and obligation to profit from it. Because you got to stay in business, you got to pay your bills, stay in business to keep your message out there. And two, you're an example for the people that are following you. Okay? So quit doing other people and yourself a disservice and make offers. Do a call to action. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And part of here's what I've got for you, here's what it'll do for you, here's what I want you to do next, is it makes it very seamless, David, and it's really not. It's selling, but it's not. Okay? It's selling at a relationship level, and because so many people on my webinars and in my in-person talks like at NAMS will say, you know what I figured out, Jeff? I said, what? I said, you were making an offer, and I was putting in my credit card number
mm-hmm.
before I realized what you were doing.
Because it was the next step.
It was the next logical step, and it's done in a relationship-based way. And, you know, it's because look at those three things. Here's what I've got for you. Here's what it'll do for you. Here's what I want you to do next, or here's what you want to do next. That's what you do on a webinar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got one coming up in like a half hour,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I'm going to do. Here's what I've got for you. Here's what being able to do this, I think I'm going to talk about creating your irresistible gift magnet, will do for you. Here's what you want to do next. Okay, that's what it's all about. And so it's, you and I have both seen people give a presentation, and then it comes time for the call to action, and their body language changes, their tone of voice changes,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes very clear, oh, something's different here. To do this well...
So they switched into sales mode.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that better. They switch into sales mode versus continuing the conversation that you've been doing all along. Simply continue the conversation.
And give me an example of that. How would that work?
One of the ways I... Well, see, here's something that happens about 10 minutes into some of my webinars.
Mm-hmm.
A new person will say, and they'll put it in the chat, they'll say, man, we're 10 minutes in and you're just now delivering content. And if I'm in the right mood and I have time, I'll call that person out,
mm-hmm.
and say, this was just said, and I'll say, listen, bud, you're either going to get off this webinar or stay on based on what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Because you're absolutely wrong, because I've been delivering content since before this webinar even started, when I was just chatting with people. And if you're smart enough to stay on this webinar and watch what I do, your sales will increase.
Yep. You still there? Where'd you go?
You still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Yeah, okay, good.
You went away for a second.
Yeah, for a second everything went out. Because I'm delivering content. Hang on a second.
Is that Buddy the internet dog?
I had to send them downstairs. So basically what I say is I've been delivering content since the beginning of this, and I'm always setting up the next steps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so you start the call to action all the way through. And so in a webinar, one of the ways I'll say it is, you know, well, let's talk about your next success steps. Or here's how to grab it, run with this and profit.
Right.
Okay. And it's your next success steps. When I do public presentations, like if I go over the big five steps of what I teach, I'll say, look, you don't got to write that down. I'm going to give you a sheet of paper at the end that's got those five steps on it. Well, it's also the order form. Okay. So it's all done in a very seamless way that's just conversational.
Right. Okay, good. So before we let you go, and I know you got to go to another webinar that you're going to be doing in a little bit because you are like the webinar guy these days. I wanted to talk about testing. We figured out. Let's just back up here for a second because I want to take a look at what we've done so far. We figured out our strategy, right? We've talked about the strategy.
Right.
We've used these steps to build the strategy, and we figured out what the tactical elements are that have to happen for us. So in the tactical, you're going to figure out what content types you're good at, how you want to repurpose that content, how to get started focusing on your content in a way that delivers the results that you want. So now let's talk about, you haven't written anything yet. All you're doing is making a plan and figuring out how you're doing this, right? So to test the market, and by the way, this is where you're great, is the execute piece. And we're not going to get to the execute piece with you today. But the test piece, finding the market, writing for the market, using the language of the market, gauging the return, all of that stuff, plus whatever else you can bring to it, that's where the success comes before you even put pen to paper, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
and part of it comes with doing that and then putting pen to paper and seeing the results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the things that you can do And every platform has a way of measuring this. Easy in Articles tells you the number of views and the number of click-throughs from your articles. YouTube tells you your number of views, number of subscribers. You pay attention to that, and it's really simple. When I go and look at all my articles on Easy in Articles, I look at the ones that's got the most traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The audience has voted, David.
Yep.
And they're saying, this is what we want to know more of. So I talk more about that. Okay? When I go to YouTube and I look at my videos there, I look at, you know, what have people looked at the most?
Mm-hmm.
The audience has voted. When I go look at my boards on Pinterest, which is a phrase I never thought I'd say.
Right.
But I found out how much traffic comes from that. I pay attention to what people are clicking on, looking at, and reading. You do more of that. This is not brain science or rocket surgery. It's just that most people aren't willing to do these little things that make things better.
Typing's an issue today.
It always is for me.
I know. And so talk about using the language of that market. Do you gauge your writing based on what you read from that market? And how do you find that?
I'm going to tell you a little secret, David. Have you noticed at NAMMS, when I'm there and I'm not speaking, that I'm usually in a workshop?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't go hide in my room. I'm usually there. What I'm doing in that workshop is I'm listening to the person talking. Sure. I'm listening more, though, to the audience. What mm-hmm. questions are they asking, and what words are they using?
Yep.
Okay? Because in that is they're telling you what the questions are, and they're telling you what words to use. Okay? So I pay attention to that. Every single webinar I do, and I was looking at the disk or the hard drive that this is on, thinking I got to get a separate one for this. Every single webinar I do, and I do them very a lot of interaction, so there's a lot of questions. I save that chat box, and I go through those questions, and I look at what the questions are, and I look at what the language is. Okay, so those are several ways to pay attention.
So one of the things I love about Amazon is you get the bad reviews.
It's a beautiful place to go.
You go to Amazon and the good reviews are great, but the bad reviews tell you what you need to be focusing on to resolve issues and problems.
Oh, that's so huge, David.
Yep. And the other thing about it is you can go to Amazon, look at somebody else's book, and get articles from there that'll keep you busy for a week by the ideas, right?
And one of the reasons that's such a great idea is, you know, people on Amazon that are reviewing books, these are people that have spent money. These are customers.
Yep.
Amazon has how many million customers? So you're looking at people that have voted with their wallet or their pocketbook or their money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. And it's just sitting there for people to look at. It's just that most people don't take the time.
Yep. Okay.
And buyers do a certain thing. Write this down, folks. Buyers buy.
We like them.
I mean, I could make it more complicated for you, but why? Buyers buy.
Yep. Okay, so before you go, people can find out about your templates, and I think I have those listed here, and if not, I will put it on my... I'll put it in the Dealy Do here.
The Dealy Do,
whatever that is. I'm
honored to be in the Dealy Do.
You're going
to
be in the Dealy Do, so that they get the resources and the templates from you. I have three mistakes template, and I have profitable content in 20 minutes or less, which is one of the webinars you did with us, and a call to action webinar that you did with us. So
right.
We have those things all there, and I will also add the link that we have to your profitable content templates.
Awesome.
Talk about the templates and what's offered there.
You know, it is a great example, David, of what we talked about earlier, where, you know, something you're good at and the needs of your niche cross, because that's how the templates were created, and we're on version 5.0 now, and what folks get is 21 profitable content creation templates. And the one of them you have right there, the three mistakes template, there's the how to get a benefit without certain pain, different stages, the perfect cure for. We saw that in an article earlier. And so they get the template, and with each template, you get a graphic that shows you the formulas to use. You get instructions on using each one. And then for each one, you get a look over my shoulder video. And I didn't realize how valuable this was. It was several NAMs ago where I was having people create content out in the audience. And while they were doing that, I just decided to open up Easy Articles and create a piece of content on the big screen. And Kurt Chalet came up to me afterwards and said, Jeff, watching you create content is like watching Spielberg direct a movie.
Sounds like a testimonial to me, man. Said,
what's that?
Testimonial there, man.
Well, that's what I did. I said, I looked at Kurt and I said two things. One, thank you very much. And two, don't go anywhere. Because I want that on video.
Yep.
And so from that, there's a look over over my shoulder video as I create content with each one of those templates.
Yep. Okay.
Then there's an example of completed content from me, and then an example of completed content from my top students. That's for each of the 21 templates. Then you get a whole bonus module on what I call repurposing power secrets and how to repurpose it into multiple marketing messages and information products. So there's that training in there. And then you also get a, what I call a content creation conversation with me, you and I on the phone, taking a look at your content and seeing how we can improve it, make it better, and seeing how far you can take it and get you on the road to doing it.
Wow.
There's a lot in there.
That's a lot in there. And, you know, I'm really sorry that we didn't get to this because I actually have a mind map here for how I've created 6 articles on the pie test. And I wanted to go over that with you and talk about what we would do for all of these articles and show you the finished results I'd come up with. So,
well, you know what that just sets up very nicely is the sequel to this workshop.
That's right. That's right. So this afternoon in part 2, we are going to go through the execution piece of this and build a checklist for how we will go ahead and create more. Let me back up here so we can see. Oops, went too far. So create the checklist in the execution module for how to go ahead and create the kind of content that you want. Then we're going to talk about the feedback and where you get the results feedback and how to improve on your content and get even more results. So,
that's
Jeff,
awesome.
Yeah, that's what we're doing this afternoon. I really appreciate you being here. We got a lot of good information today. This was terrific.
You're a very good interviewer, and using this mind map makes you even better because, I mean, I want a copy of this because you pulled some stuff out of me that's I never said it that way before.
So, well, good.
Good job, buddy.
Okay, well, thank you. So I'm going to let you go because I know you have to rush off, but I'm going to talk to folks about what's next and really just jump into some of the execution thing. And I probably will bring in your three mistakes template that we can use as a template to get started with these kind of things.
And absolutely. It's a great way to get started.
And we'll look at some other areas where you can go in like Amazon and identify opportunities for content there as well. So, Jeff, thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir. I'm honored to do it. And let's do that sequel.
You bet. Talk to you soon.
All right, man.
Bye. Okay, so while Jeff is disappearing and going off to his next session, we're going to talk about the execution piece of this and what's next for us. So let me just close down a couple of things here and focus on what's coming up in the afternoon. I'm going to pause everything just a second. Okay, so some of the things we're going to go over this afternoon, and we've got a lot of work to do, so I'm expecting this to go the full 2 hours at least. Is that we're going to pull Jeff's three mistake articles template. I'm going to send everybody over there to get that. And then we are going to write an article based on those three mistakes templates. I'm going to give you a spot that you can send your example to me, and we'll include those in this course. So I want you to send those examples and we will review them. In fact, what we're going to do is go through that now. And during the break, I want you to take a look at the three examples, and we will come back and look at these, the three mistakes template, and we'll take a look at this and come back and do some review of some three mistake templates, three mistake articles, as well as additional ways of creating more and more content. So first thing for the execution piece is to go get your three mistakes template, and that's going to be, I think I can do this here just by coming down. Where is it? Let me see if I come here and right click, edit node, control K. There it is. There's the link. So I'll put that here so you can see the link itself. Oops. Like that. Okay. And that's it. nams.ws/7tips. I wrote 7 tips there for some reason. Sorry, but that's what it is. And you're going to get your template there, and we can work on building out an article using that three mistakes template in his site. We're also going to look at when you go over there and you get signed up, you're going to see, well, I'll just show you. Hold on a second. You get over there and you see when you come into the templates area, you see this is the mistakes template, and he's got 5 section headings here: the template itself, the video of how to do it, the first template, this is him actually creating content using that three mistakes template, the first example that he has of it, and there's a second example, and then he's got a link here to show you the rest of the package as well. So here's the template, and it's very, very simple and rudimentary. And this is the way he talks about all of his titles, and it is keywords, benefits, keywords. Keywords, benefits, keywords, the way he has it set up. So in the description, you ask a question and you promise the answer to that question in your content. Then you've got the keyword-rich absolute truth, the connection magnet, which he goes into and what those things are, and mistake number one is you describe mistake number one, and then you give them the description of what to do instead of that mistake. So you're always providing the answer to the mistake, the solution to the mistake. So then you have mistake number two, what to do instead. Mistake number three, what to do instead. Then the call to action at the bottom with his flow invite brand. That's called FIB, F-I-B, flow invite brand, flow invite brand, and that's his formula for that. So you can see these are very templatized and pretty simple and easy to use. So here's a description below on how to use it. So he's got an article here below telling you exactly what those pieces are. Okay, the video on this, oops, I've got to log in again. Sorry, I had to re-log in, and I had to log into my full version there because the site got a little confused about who I was. So the video is Jeff is actually talking to you, and this is the mistakes tab up here in the full site. You can see all of the other templates that we have across the top here. So, and if you click on the video here.
Okay, so here's your video for the three mistakes template. And I really know this to be true for you, that when you start using this template frequently, you're going to see how powerful it is and how quickly you can create content. So the question may be, why am I showing you this in the eZine Articles dashboard? Well, that's where I create my content. Makes it easier than having to cut and paste to put it over here. And while I'm demoing how to do each of these templates, I'm going to be creating it here and eventually turning it in to a piece of content. So why not leverage it, right? Okay, so three mistakes. Let's pick a topic. Facebook engagement. Okay, so three big mistakes. Facebook engagement mistake number one. Okay. How about trying to sell right away
or all the time. Great.
Okay, so you can see that Jeff's going to walk you through the process of creating an article using those three templates, those three mistake templates. And we're going to do this very same thing this afternoon with that template as well. Now, let's see, this is, oh, and the other thing is then here you have examples of articles using exactly that. So he's got practical content marketing, the three biggest profit-sucking call to action mistakes. Yes, you. Now, if you remember correctly, I think if we go to Jeff's Easing articles, let's do a little control F here on sucking. And there it is at the top. Profitable production creation, three profitable sucking, free profit sucking, profit creation mistakes, and what to do instead. So that is not only did he demonstrate it, but he actually put it straight up on the video when he created it. He used it. He used what he was doing. So that's a great example of how to use that. And here it is, the exact article with the mistakes. And notice they are short. So the failure to have one. Here are the three of the biggest call to action mistakes and what to do instead. Failure to have one, get started. Got to start here, right? I've seen so many people create great content and then fail to give the prospect any way to get more information at all. That's two sentences, a question and the mistake. So people identify with it. What to do instead? And here it is, another two sentences. That's all. My students and coaching clients know the firm rule I have. Always give your prospect another way to engage you, invest with you, or both. It's just plain foolish not to. And not at all hard to do. So you can see from this, anybody can do this. Anybody can create this content. Now Jeff turns these into videos as well. So that's what we're going to look at in the afternoon, is how to execute this, or part two if you are watching this instead of being on live. We're going to first we're going to create an article with the three-step template. Then I'm going to show you how I use a mind map to actually build out the original article series for my mind map series, that, or for my passive income evaluation test series that I was doing. These are the key components of the article. I went back and took this and broke it and wrapped it up into a complete article, and I'll show you those finished products as we go through. I ended up with, I think, 7 different articles instead of, or 8 different articles instead of 7. So I'll show you exactly how that worked out. Then I'm going to show you how to use content creation in your funnel creation. So I have a new SmartList plugin, and it's going to have a 30-day trial version, and I'm going to have a funnel in place for it. So I'm using the entire content creation piece to help build a funnel around my product funnel, which drives more engagement, more consumption, and more product sales. So that's the results that we're looking for. Remember, Jeff talked about results, and I go through that entire funnel piece and how the content fits in there. Okay, so that's going to be afternoon. Now, let's see, we are going to look at how to find feedback and then how to improve your content focus. You want to improve the content that you've already created, probably. You'll probably want to improve where your content's seen. For example, if something is really working for you, you want to do more of that and get it in more places. So you can take content that you've already created and get it out there in multiple places so that you get more results that way. So the whole idea with content is about the results, the focus, and the consistency. And we're going to come back to that this afternoon. So look forward to seeing you in the second part. And let's all create a lot of great content. Thanks. Talk to you soon.